All right, I'm going to go ahead and get into what I need to talk about today. I'm not going to preach like a traditional message, I guess you would say, today. It's going to be a little bit different, okay? Is that all right with y'all? You know, every once in a while I got to switch up because I get bored. Because don't put a label on me, but I'm, woo, let's go. There is no label. Well, all right. I do want to read from a text, and I'm not going to make you stand for that because I am going to read from a text that has challenged me a lot lately. And I feel like, I've been telling everybody this. I've been feeling for some time this shift, right? We're shifting. There's been a shift here at Lifegate Church. There's a shift in the world. There's a shift in culture. But now more than ever, there's been a shift here in our church culture, right? And so I just want to walk through just really quickly kind of what's on my heart. Really want to share from my heart today. I do want to read from John chapter 15. You can turn there with me. I'm going to be in John chapter 15. And then I want to just read through maybe five verses. Probably Matthew. I don't know. Give or take. We may get through one or two. I don't know. But let's start in John chapter 15, verse 1. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Go ahead and stand. Sorry, yeah, go ahead and stand. I said we weren't going to have you stand, but, you know, it's customary here. We do that. All right, let's read it. I am the grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. This is Jesus talking. Red letters. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they'll produce even more. Already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. Remain in me, I'll remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. God bless the reading of the word today. I pray that you open our hearts and our minds to what you would have to say today. Speak through me. Let my lips be your lips. My thoughts be your thoughts. My words be your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. Look at someone next to you and say, I expect for you to sign up for a life group today. So I'm going to tell you a quick story, okay? It was about 5.5 years ago, I would say. It was back in the fall of 2018. And my wife's granddad, Sammy Hughes, he came into the office where I was selling real estate. And he came into our office and he looked over at me and said, hey, Jamie, come on. Where are we going? You got to be careful when you get in the car with Sammy, okay? You don't know where you're going or what you're doing. He said, let's go to your house. I said, all right. We go home, and he tells me to get dressed into some nice clothes. I said, you ain't got to wear a suit, but you might want to wear a suit because there's going to be a bunch of preachers where we're going. Where are we going? And he said, I have a friend that I knew that he passed away, and I want you to come with me. I said, okay. So I went with him. I put on clothes, we drive down the road, and he says, pull in right there. I said, all right. So we pull in, and we walk into the back door, and we sit down about four rows in on the left. And I'm like, okay. He's not told me at all who it was, really anything about it. We sit down for about 5 minutes, we're sitting there, and he's meeting, or he's greeting a couple of different pastors that he knows that's in the room, and all of a sudden, he sits down. He says, sit down, Jamie, right here. I said, all right. And so he says, You're supposed to pastor this church. I said, what? I was right back there. And he said, you're supposed to pastor this church. And I said, how do you know? I ain't even a pastor. I ain't a youth pastor. I ain't nothing. I ain't nothing. He goes, trust me. Look around. In a few years, you'll be pastoring this church. That was in the fall of 2018. It took him about 4 years, but he was right. I tell you that because when I came here that day, I was like, that's kind of strange. You know, I don't know why he feels this way. But I began to just kind of, I began to look around. And someone came up and started talking to Sammy, and Sammy was asking how everything was going, and they said, well, it's been kind of rough, and we only have about, 35, 40 people left in the church. And so it kind of hit me, but he told me, he said, Sammy asked me, he said, I'm going to make you promise me to do something. I said, what is that? He said, you can call the state overseer, tell him you want to pastor the church. I said, I ain't doing that. I watched my dad pastor, but I'm not doing that. And, I did it. I ended up doing it. I actually just called the state overseer and said, hey, I want to have lunch with you. So I'm kind of shortening the story. I went to have lunch with him. We ate at BurgerFi. About a couple months later, he calls me and says, I want you to go down to this church in Dalton that you just talked to me about. We're about to shut it down. We were about to shut it down. I called headquarters and said, there's this young guy. He's crazy in his head. And he says he thinks God's calling him to that church. It's interesting. There's so much debt there and everything. We were getting ready to sell the church. But I told him. And so Pastor Maloney says, he'll go down there with you because you don't have a license yet. I tell you, I wasn't no pastor. I didn't even have a license, y'all. I didn't have a license. So he said yes, right? We come down here, and Pastor Maloney kind of guides me and is with me and kind of sits in that moment to kind of let me have some time to be mentored. And I was still, multiple times being an assistant pastor, y'all, I was like, I don't know if this is what I'm supposed to do, right? Because a lot of times when you really start to do something that you're called to do, enemy starts talking in your ear, and then you start seeing like people treat other people in a way that's like, is this it? It was hard on me to like fully say yes, but then the Lord literally just gave me a reminder that several years ago I spoke to your wife's granddad. He drug you down to the place that you were supposed to be at. You got to say yes, right? I was like, all right. Then here we go. Paint the church white. What is wrong with you, God? I'm going to get cussed at by church people. Start saying yes. He starts telling you to do crazy stuff, radical stuff, right? But the whole time, I knew that I just had to be obedient, because if I feared man more than I feared God, we'd all be in trouble. Right? So I made the conscious decision to follow after what God was telling me to do every single time, and every single time he provided. And so I've been, as I step back and I take a bird's eye view of everything that's been going on, everything that happened, that has happened, and where this church has come from, and where the church is now, oh man, I get excited, because the ones who are here will tell you the church was almost dead, but our God stepped in, and because people started saying yes, God said yes. But I'll tell you that because I was here 5 years ago. A little 5 years ago, it was the last Sunday in January that I said yes of 2019. to come with Pastor Monty, and he wasn't here the first week, so I was all on my own, didn't have a clue what I was doing. Thank God Mom and Dad were pastors. Anyways, so we come in here, and y'all, any of you who are here will tell you, after the first song was over, everybody sat down in their seats. I sat up here, my wild little self, and everybody was just sitting like this. And I was like, these people run me out of here pretty soon. I'm nuts. And they're quiet, right? And I was concerned. I was concerned because I had always heard that Cedar Valley was like a church that was on fire and wild. And I was nuts. So I was concerned. I was concerned that my worship wouldn't match and pair up with the worship here. But God reminded me, Jamie, some fire takes some time to catch on. Sometimes it takes a little bit of work to start a fire. Sometimes it takes a little bit of effort to start a fire. And you might have to grind for a little bit, and you might have to work for a little bit, and you might have to really, really work hard for a little bit. But the harder you work, the more friction there is. The harder you work, the more the fire starts to spark. The harder you work, there's going to be something. And I'm telling you, I shut it up in your bones because it's supposed to get to the other people. But keep on working. Keep on grinding. Keep on going, because there's going to be some people that'll catch the fire. And the fire will then start to spread. And the fire will spread so large and wide that people will become from east, west, north, south into this church, because they'll want to know what's going on and why is the whole place on fire, because God set it on fire. And so I came in about a month and a half ago late for a song. Let me hold on real second. Those 35 or 40 people that were left are the only reason y'all have a place to be. So anybody who came and stayed, y'all better thank them. Because these doors wouldn't be open without their faithfulness. And so I came in a couple, 5-6 weeks ago. I walked in late, and I got right there. I said, I can't get to my seat. It's like halfway through the first song. And I'm looking in, it's because everybody is at the altar worshiping. Sometimes it takes a moment to start a fire. But if you keep grinding, and you keep working, and you keep blowing, and you keep at it, the fire's gonna catch on. Somebody's gonna catch it. And I praise God that we came from a place that was dead to a place where I can't even make it to my seat, because the altars are filled. The altars are filled with people who got a fire that was shut up inside their bones too. And now they can't do nothing but worship the King and praise the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I praise God that we came from a place where we were almost dead, but God said, not yet. And He breathed new life back into this place. And so I love where we've come to where we are now. I'm thankful that we may have been in a place where it felt like hope may be almost gone. I love that God has grown the church. I love to look around and see all the new faces. I love to see all of the growth that has happened. I love looking around and seeing that people see what's going on here and they understand there's something real. There's something crazy, something totally different. I got to be a part of this. I love that I look around and I see that. But I want you to go to John chapter 15, and I want you to go to the second verse, Matthew. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. I've been in a position and a place for a couple months. Laura and I will have this conversation where we can't figure out. We'll talk and we'll have this conversation. We get really upset. Like, we're just like drained emotionally. And I've been trying to figure out, what is this, God? Like, why do I see this growth and I'm not fueled by it? Why do I look around and I see growth and it's not enough? Why do I look around and I see, and it's like I can hear him in my ear whisper at me, weeds grow, Jamie. Weeds grow too. Weeds grow fast. Weeds sometimes grow out of control. I love the growth. I celebrate the growth. The growth's important. Because if it's just a seed, if it stops growing before it grows large enough to produce fruit, then it was pointless anyways. So where we've come from and where we are now has been very, very critical. But I want y'all to hear me. I couldn't figure out why I was like hurting almost. Like I was in pain. And then Laura read me something that someone posted, and it was like I don't even know who the guy was, because I don't get on Instagram or Facebook. I don't do the whole social media, Facebook, Guamai, AT&T. Y'all ever seen that video? It's like, I don't know. Anyways, rein it in. Matthew's like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with you? Anyways, so I'm sitting here and I'm like, oh my goodness. He said, if you're a leader, you're a pastor, and you're wondering, like, is this even like what I'm supposed to be doing? Like, what am I doing? What's the point of this? That means you're... Oh, it hit me so good. He said, the thing is that means God's pouring out new wine, but you're trying to fit it in old wineskins. And you got so used to the old wineskins that you think you got to keep doing the things that you used to do. When in all actuality, what you got to do is understand that for new wine, you need new wineskins. That God's not doing the same old thing that he's always done. He's doing a new thing. And so I was like, this is it. Because I'm going to tell you all my fear. That right there. He cuts off every branch. Look at the next one. Of mine. That's Jesus talking. You can grow and he'll still cut you off. And I don't want to be a branch. That's what a church is. I don't want to be a branch that grows but doesn't produce fruit. Because there's a story, it's in both Matthew and Mark, where Jesus goes up to a fig tree. He goes to a fig tree, and he begins to look at this fig tree, and he sees this fig tree, the Bible says he sees it in full bloom from a distance, right? So he walks up to this fig tree. Now, if we got into the context of this, there's some other stuff that I could really teach from on the fig tree, but there's one point that God has been hammering me with, okay? Is that don't look pretty and not bear fruit. We can be a church that looks pretty, but if we don't bear fruit, Jesus will come through and be like, hey, God, cut it. They look good. They shout good. They sing good. They praise good, but hey, they ain't bearing fruit. I need a church that'll bear fruit. And so it's terrifying to me as a leader, as a pastor, for us to not bear fruit. So what does bearing fruit look like? All right, so what Jesus talked about, he's like, if you remember, they'll know my people by their fruit. Now, what did Jesus tell us to do? All right, because if we want to know what fruit looks like, we got to know what Jesus told us to do, okay? Jesus said... Also, in Mark chapter 16, he said, this is how you'll know my people. They'll cast out demons in my name. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. They'll speak in a new tongue. All right, we got that part down. All three of those things. Eight people in the last 18 or 19 months, healed of cancer in this church. Y'all ought to shout for that. Where's Oscar at? Oscar came in here and the doctor told him he would not walk. Came in here on a cane. He threw that cane right up here after we lay hands on them hips and he walked right out without a cane ever again. There have been people that have been healed of all sorts of things. I mean, I'm telling you, pains in their hips, pains in their body all over the place, diseases, sicknesses, they've been healed of it. And I love to look around the room and see miracles in the room. I love it. We're doing that part. We cast out demons. We got a deliverance team. Okay? We're doing that part. We speak in other tongues. We saw it this morning. It happened. I love it. We're doing what Jesus told us to do. But then, after that, at the end of Matthew chapter 28, can you pull up Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20? I think that's where it is. Yeah. This is what else Jesus said to do. All right, so we got that part. We a Holy Ghost-filled, Holy Ghost-baptized church. And the Holy Spirit was like, hey, Jamie, all those things are important. Just make sure that you don't forsake the next part. Got it, Matthew? Matthew chapter 28. Is it 18 through 20? Yeah. 18 through 20. I'll pull it up here. Let me see. You got it? It's all good. I'll pull it up on my phone. Thank God for technology. Now, if I can figure out how to work my technology. Here we go. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. All right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So, we got to do those three things, and listen to me, continue to do those three things. Because I believe that the reason why the Holy Spirit moves here is not only because he's welcomed, but because he's wanted. We don't just welcome the Holy Spirit, we want him here. Because if there's ever a time we need him, it's now. I tell you all that all the time, and it's important you're reminded of that constantly. You need the Holy Ghost. You cannot walk around in this world now without being filled with him. Okay? And so, as I read that verse, go and make disciples. Listen, discipleship takes place when you spend time with people. I was telling our life group leaders this morning, discipleship takes place when you spend time. Sunday mornings are not enough. This hour and a half to 2 hours is not enough. You gotta have these shirts that we have on. It says Life Group, a little family in Lifegate Church talking about Jesus. Okay? That's the definition. That's what every life group means. If anybody tells you anything else at any other church either, no, it's a little family talking about Jesus. If you're from the South, at least. Yeah. Listen, here's the deal. At the end of the day, you need community. And not every one of you have a big family or anything like that where you have someone to call on that's right down the road. Some of you have that here, and that's amazing. But a lot of you don't. And some of you are even newer Christians or younger Christians or baby Christians. You haven't been a Christian for very long. You need a church family. And you need some discipleship in your life. You need some mentorship in your life. You need someone who's going to call you out on the stuff you should not do in your life. You need someone to teach you what it means to be a Christian. Because if you don't, You'll come in here on a Sunday morning, you'll receive a little bit, you'll be excited until Tuesday gets here, you'll be excited on Monday still, but when Tuesday gets here, you go, yes, there's a weed that pops up. Oh, I love it. Oh, by Tuesday, you can't even come on Wednesday because you're too upset and depressed. Or you talk bad about somebody and you feel bad about it. You got convicted because you, whatever. You can't just come on one day, on a Sunday morning, show up, and that be enough. Especially when we have so much work to do. At the very beginning of the Bible, it says, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Multiplication doesn't take place by sitting still. Multiplication doesn't take place by you keeping your mouth shut. Multiplication takes effort. It takes work. And if fruitfulness is defined as multiplication, the only way that multiplication happens is if you do the job that God has granted you the power and authority to do. When Jesus said that in the 20th verse there, I've been given all authority. So when he has been given authority and he grants it to us as authority, we then have to take his message to the world. But here's the problem. Most of us don't know how to do that. I think if there's one thing that I hear the most as a pastor, it's, well, I don't really know how to share my testimony. Well, guess what? We just added a life group to teach you how to do it. Right? So here's the thing. As a pastor, what I feel is my responsibility. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? He said, yeah. Then feed my sheep. Okay? So me as a pastor, I put the plate out there with food on it. If you don't eat, that's up to you. I can't make you eat. But I'm not going to sit here and not provide something for you to eat. Whether you make a decision that you want to go out in the world and eat that junk, you can do it. But if you want to eat good, holy food that's very Bible, we don't do anything that's not biblical, okay? We're not going to do anything that's not biblical here when we're teaching the word. So if you want that, we have a class. There's a class. I want you, Santi, where you at? Santi, stand up. All right. On Sunday mornings now, we have a new class called Foundations, okay? Santi started it this morning with an intro class. In this class, there are 7 foundational Christian principles that we're going to teach in that class, okay? 7 foundational principles. We're going to spend 2 weeks on each principle. That class is at 9:30 on Sunday mornings in Classroom 1 back here. Foundational biblical principles. How to read. How to pray. How to give. We're going to teach about baptism, both water and Holy Ghost baptism. We're going to teach about fasting. Then we're going to teach you how to share your testimony and what the Bible talks about in serving, okay? Those are the 7 principles. Now, here's what's going to be interesting. When we get to the 6th principle of sharing your testimony, we're going to teach you how to do that, okay? So for 2 weeks, we're going to talk to you and teach you how to share your testimony. And then after that, we're going to teach you about serving. And at that time, what we're going to do is we're going to take a field trip. And you're going to go share your testimony while you serve at Providence Ministries. Right? Because here's the deal. I don't want you to have the excuse, well, I just sat in a class, but I didn't have any, you know, I don't know how to do it. I didn't do it. So I don't know how to do it because I didn't actually do it. No, you're going to do it. We're going to teach you how to do it. And then while you're serving, you're going to share. Right? Because if you don't know how, you won't do it. It's just how we are. It's our nature. If we don't know how to do something, we won't do it. So we're going to make sure you know how to do that here. Does anybody think that might fit them? Anybody in the room? Yeah. Yeah. Say, I don't know. I don't know how to do it. I want to know how to do it. Okay. Sunday mornings at 9:30, Santi's class. Y'all make sure to see him after service, okay? I want you to see him after service. It's going to be amazing. You're going to finally learn how to share your testimony, okay? Another thing that goes along with that, Our mission statement here at LifeGate Purpose, I think these kind of go hand in hand, if I'm being quite honest. 15 weeks, week one was this week, okay? You start, by the way, in that class, we're also going to teach you how to read the Bible, how to study the Bible. And this week, they started with Matthew chapter 1. And it's going to be super simplified, okay? Super simplified. One chapter a day through the Gospels, and then one chapter of Romans through the entire class. You just have to read one chapter of the Bible a day, okay? Not overwhelming. It's just reading the Bible together, talking about the Bible together, okay? So, it's perfect because it works out to be 105 chapters of the Bible, and 15 weeks divided 15 times 7 is 105. So cool how God works those things out. Numbers, just super cool. Love it. Love it. You know, me and Blake were talking about Numbers this morning. It was really cool. He's talking about the woman at the well and how the woman at the well, like five times she messed up. And then the sixth time she wasn't even with a husband. And then the seventh time she found Jesus. Ooh, completion. Seven. Numbers. Ooh, super cool. You know what's also cool? When the Lord created the heavens and the earth on the seventh day, he rested, which means that Jesus was her rest. Oh, that's good. Y'all ought to be shouting on that one. That's some good stuff. That's real good. That's real good Bible, okay? Real good Bible. Numbers, they're so cool. We're going to teach you about those things in this class, all right? How everything you have to do systematically. It's important. It's important that you read the Bible systematically. Not just, I'm going to open it up and see how I feel today. Cool. Leviticus chapter 7. I don't think I want to read that. That's what ends up happening. If you have a systematic reading plan, you don't do that. You have something to accomplish every day. Okay, so we're going to teach that. But there's another class that goes along with it. Our mission statement here is helping people find their purpose through the love of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So purpose is literally at the central theme of who we are. We want to make sure you find your purpose, right? And so we have a class called Life Track, and within Life Track, the third step of Life Track is about discovering your purpose, okay? And it's if you haven't taken Life Track, you gotta take Life Track, okay? I'm telling you, in order to get involved here and to serve here, you gotta take Life Track, and in order to be able to do that, you sign up online or you sign up out front. It's also the path to membership, so you gotta do that, okay? In Life Track, we talk about discovering your purpose, but this class is going to be even more in-depth, okay? So we talk about in-depth what purpose is, all right? Not only what purpose is, but how you find your purpose biblically. Does that sound like something anybody in here wants to do? All right, not just inside the church, but outside the church. We want to walk through 12 weeks. It's a Wednesday night class at 6:30. On Wednesday nights, I know some of you might leave my perspectives class, and that's okay. But after 12 weeks is over, I expect you back in there. Because I want to hear about your perspective on your purpose. You see how I did that? All right. So this class is going to be broken down into 12 weeks. We're going to make sure that you understand what that personality, we're going to have you take a spiritual gifts test, a personality test, a behavioral test. We're going to make sure that you take those things and that we can kind of understand more about who you are. We're going to explain those things. And we're going to talk about the core values of LifeGate Church, because if you want to know how you fit into the purpose of what God is doing here at LifeGate Church, you need to know what LifeGate Church stands for, really in depth, okay? Biblically. So we're going to talk to you about those core values. Then we're going to walk through a book called What on Earth Am I Here For? And then we're going to talk about what you are feeling inside of you. And then the last 2 weeks, we're going to have one-on-one meetings with pastors, and you're going to have a chance to sit down one-on-one with a pastor for about 15 minutes, talk through all the spiritual gifts tests that you have, the analysis that we've gone through with you and heard about you throughout the class, and then we're going to plug you in, okay? And if there's nothing in the church that you're like, oh man, this just doesn't feel like this is me, maybe it's because you have a heart for something that we need to start. Maybe there's a new ministry that needs to be grafted in to the vine, right? A lot of times, I was telling Pastor Jason this week, a lot of times pruning, you got to understand, like sometimes it's about pruning off things that are diseased out of the branch, but then sometimes it's about pruning so you can graft something good in. And I think sometimes God brings people together to be grafted into the plant. Because you have some gifts and stuff where it's like really cool that we want to help you fulfill that purpose, and we might need to start a new ministry in order to do that. So if you're interested in finding your purpose, anybody in here would say, I don't really know what my purpose is, but I'd like to find it. Is that you? Anybody? Yeah. Yeah. See, that's why we have this class now. So after service is over, go out front, see Pastor Jason. He'll sign you up for purpose. It's really exciting. I love it, okay? Also, there's some other groups that we feel like are super important to make sure that we're doing everything we need to do. That's Pastor Jason. Jason, stand up real quick. Yeah. See, y'all know Pastor Jason.
Let's go!
All right, so he's going to be teaching that class on Wednesday nights at 6:30. Also, we also know that this world, Paul teaches us, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against spiritualities and principalities of the unseen realm, right? You and I face attacks as believers, but you and I just have to deal with things as believers, but not even just as Christians, as human beings. The Bible tells us that Satan and all his little minions, little demons that are out there all over the place, they're just sniffing around the corner, seeking who they can devour. That's what the enemy's constantly doing. Sin, crouching at your door, waiting to devour you. So we have to make sure that we are spiritually equipped to handle all of the battles that we cannot see. Just because you don't want to believe that demons and all the spiritual realm is real or unreal, or I don't care if you don't want to believe it, just because you don't want to believe something doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Because it's biblical that it exists. And if we can't just believe parts of the Bible, that's dangerous. You got to believe the whole Bible, right? You either believe the word or you don't. Right? And so we know that this is taking place like way back. I'm talking about Genesis 6, right? I start getting into the Nephilim, and I'm not getting into a whole discussion on that today, but the unseen realm is important to understand how you fight against that. Because here's the bottom line. We have power and authority over it. Over any of the dark forces, because the Bible tells us that Jesus disarmed. Disarmed. Means that they don't have the ability to use the tools and equipment that they used to be able to use. But see, we walk around as believers maybe not even knowing that. That you have the power, you have the tools at your disposal, right? So, Katrina, can you stand up? Miss Katrina is teaching a class called Equipped. Let's go! Equipped. We want to make sure that you are equipped to face the spiritual battles that you incur and you come up against on a daily basis. For the sake of your family, you need to know how to pray against these things. You need to know how to fight these fights. You need to know that when your kid gets sick, sometimes it's not just, I don't know that I want to get into all that, but sometimes it's spiritual attacks. Y'all think all this depression going around just happened up out of nowhere? You think that these kids just wanted to be mutilating themselves, just came out of nowhere? You think that all of a sudden we went from like 1% to 33%? I think is the most recent one of Gen Z. It says they're part of the LGBT community. Like a third believe that they are. Because they don't know their identity in Christ, because they've been being told something in the supernatural realm where they can't see it, but they're hearing it. And they need to know. And we need to teach them. You have an identity in Christ. He loves you so deeply. He didn't create you to be somebody different. He created you to be exactly who you are, how you are, for a purpose that is up to him. And so how do you fight those things? Especially as parents, we gotta, right, as the adults, We have to understand how to fight back against these things, okay? We want people to know that they're loved just how they are. They don't need to change the way they're made up. They just need an inward change and a perspective change. That's why I have a class called Perspective on Wednesday nights at 6:30 in the fellowship hall. If you've never heard me say that before, I would love to invite you to sign up for my class. Because we say every service. Because we talk about in perspective, a different perspective on life. Like you look through different lenses. And a lot of times we see things through one lens, when in all actuality, we really need to see it through a biblical lens. And we love to talk about the different ways that people see things in this class. It's just so much fun. I love to talk through those things, because a lot of times, like what I always heard this thing, the saying, your perspective is your reality, right? And most of the time, a lot of these things, and I tell our team this all the time, when we talk about our mission statement and how we accomplish our mission statement, those are accomplished through three things: meeting together, maturing in purpose, and making a difference. Those things all work together, okay? Just like all of these classes work together. Because you can't see your purpose if you don't have a change in perspective, right? And you'll notice as we go through this, you'll notice that every single one of these classes has one word. We didn't want it to get too difficult for you to remember. We wanted to simplify things, just like we do whenever we know that if there's a problem in our life, we don't have to say anything but the name of Jesus. One name. One name higher than any other name. Ain't got to say nothing else but Jesus. Get his name out your mouth. Perspective. That's mine. There's another class that, let's see. Where's Eric and Emily at? Where you at? All right. Eric's up here. Emily's down here. Committed. It's our new couples group, right? If you don't know how to live a married life biblically, you can't share with others how to live a married life biblically. We got the highest rate of divorce here, like one of the highest rates. Eric was just sharing that it was like, what, sixth or something like that in the nation? It's like nuts. We got one of the highest rates of divorce here. You know why? Because people don't live a biblically focused, biblically understood marriage. And that takes two. Takes two of you to do that. And so we wanted to make sure that we do our part to fight back against the enemy of divorce in our community. So how do you do that? You join our couples life group called Committed. Right? Because we want to also talk about in this class, we want to talk about the redemption stories. There's some of you that have been through some pain and you did go through divorce, but now you got a redemption story from it. That's what we want to do here, is teach how to live biblically in a marriage, so that you can share when someone else is going through a really hard time in their marriage. You know how to share the gospel of Christ to them and talk to them about how Jesus saved your marriage at one point in time. Come on. Anybody had Jesus do that? I know it's a touchy subject, but it's why we're addressing it. We like to shout about the mutilation, children, but we don't like to talk about the things that got some of us in here. We got to be real about it. You want to fix something, you got to have some knowledge about it. Okay? All right. Committed. All right, Matthew, where you at? Yeah, Matthew, stand up. All right, any men in the house? Wow. So quiet. What's wrong with y'all? Somebody should have given a hoo hoo, yeah, let's go, kingdom men. Any men in the house? Come on. Right back here. Matthew's going to be leading our men's group, okay? He talked to you about it last week. We got to build some kingdom men. A lot of times, the failure of the kids raising is because the father wasn't present. Let's be real about it. A lot of hurt people grow up with because the father wasn't present. Or the daddy did this. Here, just go away. Here, just talking. I teach some men how to be some kingdom men. With a mindset that says, no, I won't let my kids do that. I'm not going to let my kid to grow up that way. I'm not going to do that. And you know what? If I see another young man or young girl that needs some help being fathered, if you're a grandfather and the daddy ain't present, step up. We want to see the world change. It's going to start with the men becoming men again. We want to talk about getting mutilated, men being mutilated for a while. It's about time some men get they stuff back. I'll get really roasted for that one. It says sitting on your tails and sulking. Grow up. Man up. Come on. We're going to have some men step up again in the kingdom. Be the men we're supposed to be. So, we're going to share the gospel. Men. We go do manly stuff. Like, smoke some barbecue. Get it, Zach. Let's go. We're going to go kill that pig and smoke him too. Woo! Go skeet shooting. Let's go. That's for all the vegetarians in the house. We'll go skeet shoot. Don't kill nothing. Talk about doing something as men. It's for men and women too. But some of your purpose is with your hands. So you need to do something with your hands to help. All right? We got a crew. Jeff's out there in the hallway. He's on security duty today. But we got a crew called the Grounds Crew. All right? We come out about once a month. We just clean up around the church. We do projects around the church. We do stuff that's needed to be done. All right? Now, if Danielle Grant is ever here, it'll be 15 more minutes. Every 15 minutes. One time, we were trying to knock a wall down. Just one. We got the whole downstairs down because Danielle was like, hey, just 15 more minutes. You can get that too. 15 more minutes. See, we had some women in the house, got to keep order. keep it going. Right? You got to have the women too, right? Sometimes there's projects to be done around the church, okay? Also, talking about dads. Miss Dahlia, where's she at? Oh, go stand up, mama. You ain't got the baby in your hand right now. But, hey, any moms in the house? Come on. Any mamas? Let me remind you how this works. Husband, wife, baby comes out through the woman, through the womb, out. Any mamas in the house? I don't want another biology lesson to give another biology lesson. Would y'all just, you know. Newton's law of physics. Anyways, if there's some mamas in the house, you want to know what it means to be a woman of God, to be a mother, and not only that, but maybe even be a spiritual mother to other people. Some of y'all need to get into this class, okay? It's for mamas, for grandmothers, because remember, if you were a grandmother, that means you were a mother too. Hey. So, I mean, they're going to be going through studies on women of the Bible and what it means to be a mom biblically. What it means to be a woman. What are you supposed to be as a woman in the world biblically? How does that look? And not only that, but a support staff, support team. Mamas, everybody always says it takes a village to raise a kid. I believe it. I ain't had one yet. Because all of them look so crazy, I'm thinking, dear God. I told somebody the other day, I said, if I ever had a kid, probably Monday morning, I drop it off at school. Mom and Dad, y'all got at least 2 to 3 days a week. And then Wednesday after school, Susie and Daryl can go pick them up. I'll pick it up on Saturday. I didn't say we were going to have one. I said if. Robbie, you need to know how to be a mother biblically, okay? So we want to make sure that you know that you have a support team and that you know what you're doing based on what the Bible says that you should be as a Proverbs 31 wife, as a mother to children that are in your care. Because here's the deal. You don't own or possess those kids. You're managing them for God's sake. That's why you give it back to God when you dedicate your kid to God, because it wasn't yours in the first place. You actually were just the facilitator for it. God puts you in management over it. Do a good job. Don't slack on your duties. Be a terrible parent and then expect God to bless you. God, why ain't you blessing me? Well, because you ain't paid your kid no attention. I gave you management over something. You couldn't do that. Why are you asking me for more? Let's be real. You want more? Take charge and be a good manager over the things that God has given you, okay? All right, so let's see. I want to run through this. Moms, equip. Blake, where you at? Stand up. Y'all on fire? Anybody else on fire? Youngins? Why don't y'all all stand up? Hey, listen, on Friday nights, we call it fire. And this group right here shows up. What time y'all start? 6. And instead of going to basketball games or football games, they show up in the house of God and they start praying with worship music playing. Y'all want to know how to set an entire generation on fire? Show up in the house on Friday night and come in here and pray with them. Because that right there is how it's going to change. So this group, Friday night, 6 o'clock. Y'all come in here on a Friday and feel the atmosphere. I'm going to tell you what, you'll leave changed. 6 o'clock, Friday nights. All right, Doug, where are you at? Yeah, sometimes we just need to have some fun. Go bowling. Let's go. Come roll. All right. Miss Terry, where are you at? Right over here. If you want to serve the community and do your job to serve, be in the hands and feet. Feed the needy. It's important to do that. It's biblical. It is a command given to us. Please see Miss Terry and Miss Whitney, where she might be. Is she over here? After service, sign up at the Love Big Table. All right. I'm going to try to swiftly get through these, okay? Maintain. There are so many little things around this church. Every Wednesday night at 7:30, except for first Wednesdays, every other Wednesday night at 7:30, a group of people, it just happens to be ladies, men could do it too, they go around filling the connect cards back up, they fill up the mints all over the church, they clean the mother's cry room, they clean the nursery a little bit, they do the work to maintain this church. 7:30 on Wednesday night, so you don't have to miss a curriculum-based group. You can come in here and be the hands and feet here as well, okay? Wednesday night, 7:30. Where's Miss Jerry at? Miss Jerry at, where you at? All right, Miss Jerry's got the widows group. Like once a month, y'all, all the widows go out and they have some dinner together. And it's amazing. I haven't been invited yet. But here, it's awesome. All you widows, you need a group, okay? Get with them, okay? See Miss Jerry afterwards. Where are young adults at? Yeah, y'all stand up. Hey, listen. Let me tell you something, y'all. It's the next generation we're talking about. If you are 18 to 30 years old, you need to get in this class on Wednesday night. I'm telling you. If you're a college kid or a young adult, like in that age group, get in there on Wednesday nights, and you're going to feel something incredible. I'm telling you. It's amazing. Wednesday nights are awesome. All right. Miss Carla and Jimmy, y'all understand that? Hey, the Spirited Seniors, y'all. Y'all want to talk about a fun group? Now, I've seen pictures. And it seems like there's always some good food because everybody brings a covered dish. Lots of fun. Y'all heard that message a couple weeks ago. that Perry brought when he was here. It's time to work, y'all. So come in here. Enjoy yourselves together. And y'all discuss about some stuff that's next, all right? Miss Janet, where you at? Prayer group. How many of you are believers? Christians in the house? You should be praying. You ought to be praying. Anybody pray? Yeah. Hey, then you can join her group. It's great. No, literally, we pray for the needs of the church, and we meet before service back there. But we also have a team of prayer people, okay, that pray for specific needs, an intercessory prayer team that prays for needs of this church all throughout the week, okay? We started something back in March of last year where we have a team, our prayer team and our staff. One person is fasting and praying every single day, a liquid-only fast, and we fast. We pick a day out a month. And our prayer team is praying for the needs of this church, okay? Because we care about reaching the ear of God, all right? So, prayer team, where's Miss Sherry at? Where you at, Miss Sherry? Yeah. Any crafty ladies in the house? Yeah. There's a group for you. Crafty ladies. Craft group. They make all kinds of cool stuff. I mean, sometimes at like Christmas time, they make like ornaments and wreaths and it's fun stuff. Mom, where you at? Yeah. Yeah. I am. Woo. They like one Friday night a month, a bunch of ladies, just sisters, just get together and, we could have called it Go Sip. Is that not funny? Like gossip, like go sip, like sip the tea, like get, you know. If you're young enough, the Bible tells you as a woman, as a widow, go get married again so you don't cause problems gossiping everywhere. Anyways, Bible! God, I'm getting in trouble after today. No, but honestly, you need some sisters, just like men need brothers when you go through some really hard times, okay? On a real note, you need some sisters, ladies, that you can talk to and that ain't gonna judge you and that you got a shoulder and you can deal with some stuff biblically, okay? So that's what they do, one Friday night a month. And then my dad's got a traditional and a heritage. So Wednesday night, stand up, Pops. He's got the traditional group, a heritage group on Wednesday nights. It's awesome. And then a traditional Bible study on Sunday mornings. He does back in, and now they're in classroom 5 because we know that Foundations is going to be a nice little size group. So listen, I want you afterwards. I went through all of those just so you got to hear from my mouth. I had the youth stand up when they did fire, but youth group, we got kids groups. Man, we got everything going on here in a way that's like, it's time to make sure that we learn biblically who we're supposed to be, okay? And there's a place for you here. There is a place for you here. The next stage is getting into one of these groups, becoming a disciple, so that you can go and disciple. Okay? Let's not forsake any of the things that we have done. Let's not forsake any of the things we have been. But let's make sure that we add to the plate becoming a disciple. Salvation and discipleship are two different things. Okay? Different things. Jesus told the disciples, he said, drop your nets and follow me. That's the A clause. That's salvation. That's when we make the decision to leave behind our old self. That's salvation. That'll disappear. But then he gave a B clause. He said, and I will teach you to become fishers of men. That's discipleship. So let's continue to do the things that we've done well. Let's continue to invite the Holy Spirit into the room. Let's continue to make sure that he does what he wants to do every single time that we gather together. Let's also add to our plate becoming disciples and making disciples. Let's be fruitful, church. Go outside, find your group, join one, and be all God's called you to be so that we, as LifeGate Church, can be all we're called to be in this community, okay? Would you stand with me all over the room? Can we do that really quick?
Hey, I'm Pastor Jamie, lead pastor here at LifeGate Church in Dalton, Georgia, and I just want to say thank you for choosing to worship with us today. We hope that whether you're watching this live or you're watching this at a later time, that it brings value to your life. We would love to have you join us in person if you're ever in the Dalton area. We're at 2744 Cleveland Highway in Dalton, Georgia. If you'd like to know more about what's going on or how you can get connected with us here at LifeGate Church, just go to lifegatedalton.com. We would love to get you plugged in some kind of way and let us know if there's any prayers or anything we can do for you. Once again, thanks for joining us today. God bless.